Ron Van Dam wants you to know that he is here for you. Whatever's on your mind, whatever's bothering you, whatever you're going through right now, he wants you to know that you can always pretend that he is listening and gives a damn. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
I'm over here.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm coming out of your left speaker. What's wrong with your right speaker? Get it fixed. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the person to whom they speak of in the title of the program. Thanks for coming. Make yourself comfortable. I'll take it from here, as if I know what I'm doing. Today's show will include a brief 3.5 hour intermission, and that's because I need time to gather myself. Apparently I'm all over the place. I need to be gathered. Like bunchy pants. Do you ever get pants in the store? They seem perfectly fine. You got home, they were bunchy? I don't even know what bunchy pants means. I think I just like saying bunchy pants. Who wouldn't, right? Okay. All right. I'm going to do the best I can to stop yawning. I'm really going to try. Thanks for being here. Welcome to the program. It's some day of the week. I don't know which one. What's the difference? They all end with the day part, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's monotonous. Today is Wednesday, which I believe is quoted by the National Enquirer and the King James, the Bible. I think it was a King James or King Tut. I don't know these Bible things. I'm not a real religious guy. My parents tried to make me religious, but I said, I don't think so. I'm very spiritual, though. That's what people say when they don't know what else to say. But I really am very spiritual. I believe in spirits. I have a cocktail every afternoon at 5 o'clock. Actually, sometimes I'll sneak it in at 4, but who are we kidding? That's not true at all. I made it all up. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Who knows? What's the difference? I don't have to have an honest relationship with you, do I? Come on, why would it be you all of a sudden? Are you one of my friends on Facebook? If you are, get the hell off my page. Stop sending me little messages that you had lasagna last night for dinner. Granted, the picture of the lasagna is quite fetching, but I don't need that in my life. Thanks anyway, though. Thanks for sending me pictures of food and these witty little sayings that you come up with that for some reason make life worth living. These little sayings of encouragement. Who are you trying to kid here? Do you know who you're dealing with? Come on. They just make me laugh. But thanks anyway. I appreciate the effort. You know, it's like a greeting card. This is a piece of crap. But I appreciate the effort. I mean, I guess you went to the store and bought it, or did you have it printed online or something? I don't even know how that works. I had a guest a couple of days ago on the show about cryptocurrency, and I think I admitted after the interview that I didn't know what the hell this guy was talking about, and I still don't. There's Bitcoin, crypto crazies. I don't even know the names of these things. I am never in my lifetime going to engage in any type of cryptocurrency. Why? Because I don't understand why we need it. Ron, here's the point. This is what the guy was saying, the cryptocurrency. By the way, he designed one of the cryptocurrency. It was his concept, so obviously he's really, like, thrilled about this. I guess you can get the money to the person you want to send it to really quickly. And my response is, what is the rush? What's the rush? Why does somebody need to be paid like immediately? Unless you're sending it to a Nigerian catfish scammer. What is the immediate necessity of getting it there so quickly? I'm not converting my cash into anything, ladies and gentlemen. Crypto. I'm not converting it into gold coins. I'm not converting my cash. Sorry. I don't even trust ATM machines. I don't. I'm the person that when the money comes out of the machine at an ATM, I count it for half an hour. I have to have a second and third party there to verify the amount. It's always correct, but at the same time, I need verification. I am so paranoid these days, and it's not because I'm a paranoid person. It's because the world has made me paranoid. I truly believe. Sounds like the end of that Jerry Springer show, Baggage. Did you ever watch that? I love that show. Because we all have baggage. You have a lot more than I do. I swear you do. But, you know, we all have baggage. Anyway, so here's the deal. Everybody's out to get me. And that is my baggage. And that's not the way I was born. Well, actually, it was. When I was born, I looked up at the doctor who delivered me, and I actually said to myself, I don't trust this guy. I don't trust anybody anymore. It's sad, but if somebody, especially somebody I don't know, says something to me, my immediate response is, you liar. Why are you trying to deceive me? What are you trying to do? And the reason is that I get junk mail every day from people trying to sell me things, sending me phony checks in the mail, mail that looks like it's a check, but it's not, things that look like a bill, but they're not, trying to trick me into buying things through various marketing ploys. And that's just the mail. Then there's my cell phone. That smartphone has turned into a quite unintelligent phone now because it's sending me spam, little cans of spiced ham. It's sending me messages, texts, emails of people that want to scam me. Your credit rating has dropped all of a sudden. Somebody has made a purchase on your credit card. Go to this link immediately. We need some information. You've won a prize to Las Vegas. Click on this immediately, and it'll tell you how you can get your cash reward. I mean, everybody is out to scam you. There isn't a person on this planet. That should be the end of the sentence. There isn't a person on this planet that isn't being actively scammed as we speak, through the mail, through your cell phone, through your little internet network. Television commercials trying to scam you. Weight loss. Nobody loses weight on that stuff. You have to eat less. You know that. Einstein. Come on. I don't know. They're all out to get us, kids. Nothing is the way it is anymore. Fake news? That's obvious. I know who the schmucks are. But the scamming stuff? They're really, yeah. Are we being hacked as we speak? I know what hacking is. Like, I know some people that are real hacks because they don't know what they're doing. That's not the definition I'm going for here. People are trying to steal stuff from your virtual stuff. And that's because you're putting everything online. You're putting down your family member. Here's the weird part. Anybody can find out about anybody. And that's the scary thing. Yeah, there is reason to be paranoid because it is real. I say on the show all the time that there are two sets of generations that are targets. The first set is obviously the seniors. It shouldn't be them because they should be smarter than anybody because they've been around and they should know by now that you got to watch out for people. You should know that by now if you're a senior. That was the lesson. That's why you were on the planet so long. That was the lesson. But for some reason, seniors get lonely. And all of a sudden, they'll just hook on to any train. I don't even care who it is anymore. I'm just hooking on the trains here. Tell your seniors to pass stuff through you that looks suspicious in the very least. Anytime anything or anybody asks you for money, don't do it. Just don't do it. Be a misery old son of a bitch. It works. Believe me. I can verify that activity. The other people are the young people who think that they are impervious to everything, both medically and mentally. Impervious. Well, no one's going to trick me. I'm smarter than everybody. Oh, really? And or if you're Irish, O'Reilly. You're not smarter than everybody. You're stupider than everybody. You don't know what the hell you're doing. And a couple of drinks or a couple of tokes on a joint, and you'll give it up to anybody and anything. Those are the two age groups that you really gotta like help them out and warn them and increasingly tell them of their advanced stupidity actions. And then at some point in our technology, we decided instead of writing things down and having our private lives, that we decided we're gonna put everything out on the table, including naked pictures of ourselves. And just let it all hang out because we are all free spirits, trusting individuals. I'm going to tell you something that you're not going to find too kind. And some people, every time I do a show, there are people that object to what I'm saying in some aspect and agree with me in others. But, you know, whatever. Don't take this seriously. I used to do videos. It was one of my businesses. One of the most successful businesses I've had in my life was a video production company, and we did all kinds of stuff. That was when you needed video. This is before cell phones, where everybody can take a video now. Everybody can take a picture with the cell phone. Well, there was time in our history not long ago where you had to hire people like me to professionally videotape or photograph something. Otherwise, the quality would not be there, or your camera would be shaking all over the place. Very successful business that I had. Every once in a while, I would do some weddings, and I would go to churches, or I'd be hired by a church to videotape something in the church. I don't know. I recall. But a lot of weddings and churches and things like that. And I remember speaking to these fine, fine Christian and Catholic people. Buildings with steeples on the top. The nicest people in the world. Kind, respectful, generous, putting their hand out in friendship and fellowship. They were the nicest people in the world to me when I came in to do my videotaping job in churches. So accommodating, so lovely. The priests, not all the time. Priests had a little chip on their shoulders. And I think I know why, but I don't want to get into that. But the people, you know, the church people, the people who ran the church, you know, the nice little communities, they were just so lovely and wonderful, doing bake sales. And I know they used to say, Ron, can we get you something to eat? Would you like a little wine, maybe a host? I said, okay, I don't know if you're supposed to do that, but thank you. Nicest people in the world. And I remember leaving the church and saying to myself, they're in trouble. Someone's going to take advantage of them someday. They're going to get slapped in the face 1,000 times because they're too nice. They are the way people are supposed to be, but they're asking for a slapping. And then I realized that they don't care. They're good Christians. They're good people. And the other people will go to hell. I mean, it's very simple. They don't say that, but they know. You know, they just know. Never talk about religion on a talk show, by the way. I've just pretty much broken a rule that I made for myself many, many times, and have gotten into trouble every time that I have, pretty much, in my radio career, my career of radio. Crazy stuff. Ron, what'd you do for a living? I was a radio talk show host for 30 years. Really? Really? And what did you do during that time? I sat in a chair and talked. Really? Did you ever stand up? No, no. I always sat in a chair. Did you ever pick anything up? No. When the microphone was on this crane in front of my face, I didn't even have to touch that. Did you have to like slide the audio board up and down? No, they had a producer for that. I just sat in a chair and talked. Well, that sounds exhausting. No, it wasn't. It was not exhausting. I basically look back on a good part of my professional career and realize I didn't really do anything. It's just awful. But nonetheless, yeah, do I feel bad about it? I don't know. I never thought about it to that extent. I see people mowing my lawn and building buildings, construction people with hard hats, not soft hats. These are hard hats. I see professional baseball and football people like training all day and eating oats and hey, and I mean, I see people working hard from like 7 a.m. until 7 o'clock at night with 2 jobs. I see all of that. I don't know, whatever. Okay. And what did you do, Ron? I sat in a chair for a couple of hours every morning. Really? That's what you did? Yeah. Oh, I did other stuff. I had a couple of companies. I did all right. But basically, I sat in a chair and just talked. All right, that's enough about me. How about you? Yeah. You know, the other thing, which is fascinating, then I'll get out of your way because I know you want to play through. The other thing is that when you do radio for so long, people think that you're some type of a psychologist. They think that you know a little bit about everything. And because I've done thousands upon thousands of interviews with all kinds of experts, I kind of do. But my morning talk show, listeners would call the program and ask my advice. And I would give my advice, but I would, in the back of my mind, it's like, what the hell's going on here? what the hell is happening? Why are people calling me asking for my advice on all kinds of stuff? And all I do is sit in a chair for a couple of hours in the morning. Actually, it was 4 hours. It was a long haul. It was a fascinating thing. People actually calling up and saying, Ron, I need your opinion on something. I need your advice on something. Ooh, do I know you? What are you? Are you admitting publicly that you're stupider than I am? I don't know what's going on here. What's happening? When did I become the Pope? Oh, don't get me started. Do not get me started. I have still not gotten a letter from the Vatican acknowledging that they received my resume and my headshot. Come on, man. I have sent the Vatican my resume and headshot, an application to be the next Pope. I've sent it like 5 times by all different delivery systems. Federal Express Mail, Amazon Truck. I mean, I've sent it and not even an acknowledgement, not even a postcard from the Vatican. Wish you were here or enjoying the good weather here at Vatican City. Nothing like that. Nothing like, oh, we received your resume. It sucks, but we'll keep it on file. We threw it in the garbage. At least acknowledge that you received my resume and headshot. And that headshot, man, that was so convincing. I look so papal. Is it papal or papal? I think it's papal. I don't know why, but I think it is. Anyway, I don't think that I'm going to be the next Pope now. My dreams have been dashed. All right, my guest is going to join us momentarily, and none too soon. I use the word none in there. Huh? That's pretty clever. We're going to talk to a guest who has written a book about horrible bosses. How do you know if you're an asshole boss? Yeah, that's the title of it. Something like that. Fascinating stuff. So that's coming up momentarily, but before we do that, there's, of course, this.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her. So live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Tamika Sears joins us now. She is an author and so much more. She's written a very interesting book that I think everybody can relate to if you have a job. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The name of the book, we'll get right to it. It's it's an interesting title. I would buy it just for the title. How to Tell If You're an A-Hole Boss, a Humorous and Honest Exposé on the Misguided Management Behaviors. What prompted you to go in this direction with this subject matter?
Life experiences. So I've been in HR for 20 or so years. Uh-huh. And I definitely had my my fair share of managers who were a-holes. And I know that I've helped other employees, you know, through being an HR professional, mm-hmm. deal with their a-hole bosses as well.
It's not easy to deal with when you're kind of not in control with it. You can't change them, can you?
No. Oftentimes the employee is not able to necessarily change their boss. Mm-hmm. There are, you know, subtle hints that you can drop. You can sometimes just have an open and honest conversation and help that leader change their behavior. I think sometimes people are just not self-aware enough to know how what they're doing impacts their team.
Have you written other things in this regard?
This was my first foray into a-hole bosses.
That sounded wrong, but I understand what you meant. what is the response been like? I guess like everybody can connect with this.
Yeah, the response has been really good, actually. My favorite response so far has been someone who, on my pre-sale, asked for an anonymous copy to get sent to their boss, and they would like it to be in the form of a glitter bomb.
Oh, you know how to do it. that would be awful. Are there any tips or ideas without getting the specifics of the book, but any overriding way to handle this? Is it just putting up and shutting up?
No. So I don't, you might be able to tell from my writing, I don't believe in shutting up. Uh-huh. So I do think that having that open and honest conversation, especially if you have a good HR professional on your side, will be helpful if you are an employee. But I mean, quite honestly, job market and demand being what it is today, if you have an asshole boss, leave, run away, go other places. They're not everywhere. And there are some companies that don't put up with that.
Not to interrupt you, but there are so many jobs available now in this post-COVID deal going on that people can actually do some job hopping.
They can. And it's not even necessarily just the, you know, the jobs that are out there open and posted. Yeah. The gig economy right now is booming. So if you need time to just, you know, check out and take some, you know, mental health time while you recoup, you know, you can go drive for Uber and make, you know, a decent amount of money. There are things that people can do now that were never options in the past.
You've been involved in motivational types of works before.
Yes.
I guess kind of revolving around the subject of self-esteem and self-awareness towards self-esteem. And this kind of fits that category, this entire book, I guess.
It does. I have a book of, you know, motivational quotes out there to help kind of reset someone's self-esteem in 30 days. Yeah. And this book is, you know, it's humorous, but it's self-help as well. Mm-hmm. Because each chapter kind of goes into a management style of behavior that would, you know, say that someone's an a-hole boss. And then it gives tips on how to change that behavior. So it's, you know, it's not just about, you know, kind of ragging on bosses. It's also there to help them learn how to change.
It's interesting. We talk about this every once in a while on this program, where companies could be greatly successful if their employees just looked forward to going to work on a Monday, and that would be creating a good, nice work environment. And the a-hole bosses get in the way of that. And it'd be nice if someday these companies realized we got to put people in charge who are good people, who are good, caring people.
Absolutely. The companies that are thriving, those are the companies that really care about how their leaders treat their teams.
Yes, that's absolutely true. I worked with a sales manager once. I was a distribution manager in a place, and there was a sales manager, and he was the a-hole boss. But I, on the inside, I found out that that's what they wanted him to be. They wanted to push these salespeople to the point where it was never good enough, and they're beneath. It was just awful. It was a rude awakening to see how that really, that was the idea. This was, I guess, about 20 years ago, though, but still.
Well, unfortunately, 20 years ago, it's still happening. There's definitely a mindset sometimes of this is how I was treated when I was, you know, kind of a, you know, growing in my career. Mm-hmm. So this is how I'm going to treat other people. And the training that some companies have given really hasn't changed in 20 years.
Yeah. It's so unfortunate because when you go home at the end of the day, you kind of carry this frustration with you into your personal life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I really do think that if people were happier at work, they would be happier at home. And I think that our country overall would be doing significantly better. You know, I think that especially right now, you know, there aren't a whole lot of people having a great time.
Yes, there are not. It's true. I mean, if you have a good time at work and still are productive, that's like the formula for success. I just don't understand why some companies don't get that. And but they do.
I don't either. But yeah. I'm hoping that people start to see the connection between happy employees and, you know, productivity and healthier bottom lines.
Yes. You say in the book that changing your behavior is entirely up to you, but it's changing your behavior, not the behavior of the boss. As we said earlier, you can't necessarily do that, but you can change right. your behavior. What does that mean?
So it's you can't necessarily change someone else, yeah. right? Really, the only thing that you can do is change your behavior, and you can change how you react to other people's yes. behavior.
Well, now you sound like a marriage counselor.
Oh, trust me, you don't want me in generic counseling. Like, run away screaming. But it's one of those things that someone has to recognize that they are the problem in order to fix their behavior. And this book is, you know, it's a bit in your face, but it's that way for a reason, because, you know, people sometimes see that hammer over the head to say, oh, shoot, that's me. I am the problem.
Yes. Yeah. What is the full title of the book? Give me the full title, because
How to Tell It for an A-Hole Boss: A Humorous Yet Honest Exposé on Misguided Management Behaviors.
Okay, so it says in the title what it is.
Yes.
It's one of the more obvious titles, which is good. I mean, there's no question about what's going to happen here.
I'm very upfront. Right.
It's not called Navigating Crap or anything, which it is, but no. But it's a little more to the point. Okay, yeah. how do we get a hold of this Bible?
Well, you can go to aholeboss.com and get a pre-sale copy, and it'll be on Amazon next week.
Excellent. If I picked up the book, would it say a-hole, or would it spell out everything that it meant?
It is going to say a-hole on the cover, but okay. We do have some full spellings there in the
good
in the actual written book.
Good,
yeah.
Good, because that is indeed what they're referred to, not just the first letter.
Exactly. Yeah.
Without the other S's, it's not as good.
Okay. Right, right.
All right, and how can people follow you if this is what you would wish?
Yeah, they can. I am primarily on LinkedIn. They can just search me, Tamika Sears, T-A-M-I-C-A, Sears, like the store. Uh-huh. Or they can go to searscoaching.com and find me there.
Excellent. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, and continued success to you. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. I'll be back again tomorrow on Thursday with a brand new show. Oh, that's going to be great. So please stop on by for that one. But until that time actually occurs, well, I wish you peace.